If you eat, sleep, and breathe golf...
Sounds like my kind of guy.
Love to explore...
All right, here's what you do. You're going to call your PR guy on the phone, tell him I'm here to see him.
And most importantly, just want to have some fun...
Looks like we got ourselves an orgy here.
Welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren.
Don't you think this is starting to get just a little big for the two of us to handle?
Here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence.
I don't know how much you know about journalism, but... First rule of thumb is don't ever ask a question that you don't want an answer to.
And the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Not his fault, he's just trying not to lose his job.
Hola, y bienvenidos a Talking Golf Getaways. I'm Miguel, he's Darino. Thanks for finding us. However you dive into the world of podcasts, Apple, Audio Boom, or the Golf Trip Experts website at golftripx.com, you can always find us both day or night, because we don't sleep. Darren at Golf Getaways on Twitter and Instagram, me at Mitch Lawrence on both, and you can hit us up on the website if you like. We are going international today in more ways than one. Not only are we connecting with our neighbors south of the border down Mexico Way, which is a first for us, we will be talking to Agustin Pizat, or Augie, as we're invited to call him, someone who is truly an international golf superstar. Hola, Darino.
That's you, Darren.
How are you, Mitch? I am not going to attempt. That's right. I'm not going to attempt the Spanish. it'll be great talking with Augie. We've already had some fun off air before we got started. He's in Puerto Vallarta, which is where I wish we all were today. Two quick things before we get to the interview. Just catching up on a couple of things we talked about. The Name Our Course sweepstakes for this new project I'm working on in Roseburg, Oregon. The sweepstakes is closed, but I thought I would tell people 2,390 entries we got into that thing. That is a lot of names to sort through. We're working on sorting through them all. I still can't get over. Golf Digest picked it up. Golf Pass picked it up. All kinds of people. Our friend Jason Deegan wrote a story about it. And it's been fantastic. So we're working through all those names. Hope to make an announcement of what the final name will be in April. We'll also make an announcement of who won the preview play foursome at that time. The other thing that people who are listening ought to know about, we are going to Gamble Sands and Wine Valley at the end of the summer. That's August 29th through September 1st. We're going to play three rounds at Gamble Sands on the big course, three rounds on the quick sands course, including just what we're going to call the ace hunt, which will be our final round out there where we'll have a closest to the pin on every hole. And then for those who want to take the trip down three and a half hours to go to Wine Valley at the end of that, we're going to play 36 holes in one day out there at Dan Hickson's Wine Valley course. So if you're interested, reach out to me on Twitter, Instagram, however you know to reach out to me, and we can get you information to sign up. Spaces are limited, so we want people to jump on it and get registered as soon as they possibly can.
Cool. One question I have, are you already getting bribery offers on the Name Our Course?
No bribery offers yet, but...
You might get 2,000 bribery offers on the way in.
I'll tell you what, if somebody could get me onto a Hoopy Match Club, which I'm trying to get onto right now, I would definitely take a bribery offer. As you recall, Mitch, and I didn't say this in the thing, but if we choose your name from the 2,390 entries, that person is going to get free golf for a lifetime at the course in Roseburg, which will be, you know, something special to be able to say you're the guy who named the golf course as long as you shall live.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, let's get going with Augie. He's waiting patiently in Puerto Vallarta, and I'm going to tell you a little about him. You may not have heard of him. I hadn't until our good friend, Vanessa Price, turned me on to Augie and his wonderful work. I'm going to tell you why the superstar label is a well-deserved one. An award-winning architect, Augie's a member of both the European Institute of Golf Course Architects and the American Society of Golf Course Architects. He was the first Latin American to earn a master's degree in golf course architecture from the University of Edinburgh. As the founder of Pizat Golf, for more than two decades, he's been involved in more than 60 projects, and by now it could be 100, as energetic as he is, on three continents, not only on his own with his team creating wonderful public and private courses, but with the legends of the game like Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, and Fred Couples. to help their destination courses across Mexico come to life. With a philosophy that combines classic course elements and a unique modern artistic vision of incredible creativity and sustainability, or as he says, art and science perfectly balanced with nature, Augie's been recognized by Forbes magazine as one of the top 100 creative minds from Mexico, as well as by Golf Inc. magazine, who included him in their Power 2020 issue as an up-and-coming superstar. Personally, I think Augie's already arrived at that destination, but we'll let them have their opinion. Equally important to Augie and his team is his ranking in the top 25 list of sustainable architects worldwide, the recognition of his mind-blowing multi-purpose design of the Pit as winner of a Global Future Design Award, we'll get to that in a little while, and certainly his work, which I know means a lot to him, as the director of the First Tee of Mexico program. We'll get into his fantastic concept for the Pit outside of Mexico City, his off-the-charts contribution to the Chablais Resort with Wellness Golf in the Yucatan. It's all going to blow your mind. His design work on Places We Can All Play, a new and exciting opening of Pizarro Golf offices in San Diego, California, and more. You can find Augie online at ARQPIZA on Twitter, at PizaGolf on Instagram, and you can check out his incredibly beautiful website at PizaGolf.com. I got to spend an hour and a half on Zoom with Augie a couple of weeks ago, and I can honestly say he's one of the most passionate, spiritual, and fun people I think I've ever met anywhere in the game. Plus, he loves wearing a kilt, so he's an instant favorite. You're about to find out why we're looking forward to this one. As we say, get ready for it, Augie. Encantado de tenerte con nosotros en Talking Golf Getaways to the one and only Agustín Pizarro. Welcome, Augie.
Qué bárbaro. Muchas gracias. Thank you very much, gents. I was just enjoying that intro. I've never enjoyed an intro like this as much as this one. So thank you very much. Love it. And now I think I love the hola and all this Spanish going on because, you know, cancel culture now got rid of Speedy Gonzalez.
I know.
So now it is perfect, perfect timing to get a little bit of Spanish fervor because sooner or later they're going to start forgetting about us because now Speedy Gonzalez is not in the air.
You know what? I don't care what they do and what they say. Speedy Gonzalez will never be out of my air. I grew up with Speedy. I love Speedy. We're so happy to have you here. And as busy as you are, I appreciate you taking the time. I wanted to start off with something that's going to be really unusual in terms of our podcast. Darren knows this, but I know our listeners are going to really get a kick out of this. I love this. When I mentioned that you and I had the Zoom presentation of your work a week and a half ago, I was blown away, if you remember, by one picture of you. I was blown away by all of it, but one picture of you, which was you walking through a forest. I believe you had a golf bag on your shoulder, but you at a magnificent tree, basically holding your arm up with your arm kind of around the tree. And I want to do this at the beginning because I want to give listeners an idea of who you are in your heart and mind. We have talked to a lot of wonderful architects on the show. Pretty much all of them have great respect for the land. We know that, but I guarantee you, I have never heard any of them describe their connection to it like you do. I have been called a tree hugger for most of my life as an old hippie, but that term takes on a completely new meaning. I want you to share with the listeners and with Darren and our great producer, Chris McEwen, who's with us also, your journey to the Lacandon rainforest in 2005, your interaction with the Mayan Indians who live there, and what that tells us about your philosophy relative to golf.
Wow, thank you very much. Yes, hopefully I will do the picture justice. And this is just something that in 2005, I decided to take a retreat to the Lacandonian rainforest, which is in the Mayan culture side of Mexico. That includes Chiapas, the Yucatan Peninsula, and Quintana Roo. So when I was down there in Chiapas, I was there for a month, and we were with a spiritual guide, and I knew there was something more to just golf architecture the science and the art. There had to be some sort of spiritual connection as well, because all we do is connect with nature. So when I arrived over there, I was looking for that connection, and it all hit me and struck me when we were out there with the spiritual guide and we were going to walk through the Lacandonian rainforest. He was barefoot. Imagine just the Lacandonian. Imagine any rainforest. I mean, there's pumas, there's ants the size of your hand, and anything that crawls in there is potential life threat. And that's the whole point. Since 1,000 years ago, when the Mayans were around, they were asked permission to the ceiba tree, which is the connector between the infra world and the world above, and touch the tree and ask for permission to be in contact with nature and to be welcomed by nature, so that it can be one and be welcomed, and that way you can walk. And there will be a mutual respect from all the animals, and you will be safe crossing from one end to another. It just struck me out. It was just unbelievable to me. I loved it. I cherish it ever since. I did the same thing. I asked the guide what was this all about. So he explained it to me. I did the same thing, and I took my shoes off. I shouldn't say shoes. My boots off, and started walking barefoot with him. And it was just walking on velvet of an inner peace that I felt. It was amazing. And since then, every single time that I walk into for the first time on a project, on a piece of land for a project that I do, I look at a rock, at a tree, at something, and I connect, touch it, and ask for its permission to be able to be one and connect and create a dialogue.
What an amazing story. I mean, just Mitch, I mean, that's just the kind of stuff that we talk about all the time, of just those moments that really just kind of get to the soul of what we do and get to the soul of the game.
Unbelievable.
Well, we are very, we have... We're not. I mean, I'm an architect by trade, and when I decided to become a golf course architect, I specialized in golf course architecture, did my master's degree, and this was after my master's degree. We have so much responsibility, when touching nature, because we're not touching just maybe, you know, a couple of thousand feet to build a house. We are touching acres and hectares of land, and usually it's undisturbed land. So the response, I take with a lot of responsibility, my discipline.
Yep, no doubt. Before we get to golf courses and your design work and philosophy, Augie, tell us just a little bit about, you know, how you started loving the game. You know, when did you start playing? How did that translate into your education, both in Mexico and then when you went to University of Edinburgh?
I grew up, born and raised in Tijuana, Mexico. So I grew up at the Campestre Country Club, which has a history of its own. I don't know if you know the story, but if you like Caesar salad, I don't know if you know that Caesar salad was invented in Tijuana. So nice. We're talking about the late 20s, early 30s, Prohibition era, that Tijuana was the Vegas of the world. So everybody came down. The most important and the highest purse of a golf tournament in the late 20s was the Caliente Country Club, the Casino Caliente Country Club back in the day. That was the highest paid tournament. So we had... there's a rich history in Tijuana that at the end, you know, you move up. We're talking about 1972, the year I was born, and then 78, grew up in the 80s. We really didn't connect. I don't think at that point that we didn't grasp, even the country club didn't grasp how important that golf course is now for Tijuana and for Mexico and for the world, the heritage. But let me get to me. I was born and raised in that country club. But every time that I tried to play golf, it kind of like didn't do it for me. I played basketball. I played football, American football. I played basketball, football, tennis, front tennis. I swam. Every single thing that you can think of competitively, I did in my formative years. So I'm a huge sports fan, and active in every way. My parents were both PE teachers. That's how I grew up. And my grandfather and his brother, my great uncle was the first Mexican to swim across the English Channel in 1953. So I [S2] Wow. [S1] Have all of this, I grew up with all of this sports. I'll tell you another funny story. My great uncle, Damien Pissin, it was the stuntman for Weissmuller in the Black and White Tarzan.
So, No way.
So he he was the one, jumping from the edge of the tree to the lake and swimming with the crocodile. He was the one that's doing all of it. So we grew up with all that passion for sports. That's one part. So let's leave that part right now and let's go to architecture. I do not know why. It was just a calling. I call it just a lightning bolt that came across me. And just in fifth grade elementary, which you're what, like 10, 11 years old, I just knew that I wanted to become an architect. Now that's a tricky one because I don't know how, there's nobody in the family that was an active architect. So there was no way that I could just get it. I knew I was kind of like a little, I was very curious growing up and stuff like that. I invented stuff or I just tried to just do different things that I wanted to create. So when I started to study architecture in my university years, I was just kind of like thinking, how can I mix sports with architecture? How can I mix sports with architecture? And I thought, maybe I'll do stadiums. Maybe I'll finish. I'm a huge Charger fan, Padre fan, everything. Maybe I'll end up.
Darren, take a seat.
So I knew, I thought that's what I knew at the end. I did not know golf architecture existed. And when I graduate, I pick up golf because now everything made sense. I was a little bit, you're still a kid, but I was a little bit more mature. I started to enjoy golf. It started to click on me. Started to say, hey, this is not bad. I mean, look at this. Look at this area. Look at this nature. Look at this, these surroundings. Look at this peace. Wow. And look at the challenge that golf brings. Wow. I mean, everything else that I played was mechanical. I could play slot receiver, wide receiver. I played third string quarterback at one point, and I could do it. But golf is probably one of the most difficult sports there is, besides surfing probably. And it just clicked to me, and I became very passionate about golf. And it was not until my first job that I was doing an industrial plant that the general manager that was from San Diego said, hey, I saw your clubs, Augie. You play golf? Well, I'm playing now. It's clicking now. So yes, I do play golf. Well, my nephew works for Jack Nicklaus. And I'm like, okay, but what do you mean? Jack Nicklaus is retired. No, he works designing and doing golf courses. And my first question was, you design those things? And that is perfect. I am not kidding. I identify with my clients a lot or with some of their directors because you'd be surprised how many people do not connect that golf architecture exists. They just think that it's, let's clear this place out, put some grass and put a hole and that's it. Let's go. Vámonos. And it's every single time, at least 90% of the time in the projects in Latin America, we're talking cultural shock here, in Latin America, people don't realize that it takes a lot to actually design a good golf course. So I can identify with my clients like that way because when I was 25, 26, I didn't know it existed. So that's why I like to say that golf architecture discovered me. I was calling it. and it discovered me. And from that point on, he introduced me to his nephew. I sent my resume, and 2 weeks later, I was giving my 2 weeks notice, and I was out to Cabo to venture for what became the opportunity to link my two passions, sports and architecture, through golf course design.
Unbelievable. So Augie, I just want to quickly, the University of Edinburgh connection, which is fascinating to me, from someone who had no idea golf courses were designed, to getting your master's at Edinburgh is mind-blowing.
I love the accent. Yes, it is. Well, after I knew that that was my calling, there was nobody was stopping me. That was it. And growing up, I had loads of naysayers, loads of people that were telling me, what are you thinking? I mean, you cannot be a golf course architect. The golf course architects win majors. They're famous. What do you, you're not going to become a golf course architect. There's no way. Why don't you stay in construction? You know? So, and yes, probably they were probably right. Maybe if I was in construction, maybe I right now would be, you know, in a economically in a better place, but not necessarily passionately and satisfyingly, or if that's the correct word, definitely not. So I needed to become an architect the way of the books, because I was not going to win a major anytime soon. So I said, I need my majors to be by books. So I started to venture. I started to, investigate. And the only master's degree and in the world was in the Edinburgh College of Art, part of the Edinburgh University, and that was it. I signed up. I was lucky to get. There was only 11 of us accepted from all over the world. I think it was more than 100 applications back then. We knew afterwards, and I sold my car, my toaster, and I'm like, I'm out of here. I needed to go that route, so I knew because I started studying how the Alistair McKenzie's of the world, the Donald Ross's, you know, the Tom Fazio's, at that time, they came in being fabulous architects, you know, students of the game, and that was going to be my way of doing it.
How much golf did you play while you were in school?
Every time that we could, but I was working part time. Because I was doing my master's and I also had to work. So I was lucky enough to land a job with Ken Moody, a very dear friend of mine now, and a Scottish architect. So I had the opportunity to play on the weekends, travel and play almost all the gems surrounding the British Isles, study my master's degree, and remodel or restore 5 projects in the UK, including the first stage of Moortown, Alistair McKenzie's masterpiece, where the Ryder Cup started in 1929.
Wow.
Oh, that is something. Wow. Augie, let's talk about Cabo, because it kind of things, you know, it seems like in you telling us this story about yourself that you started in many different ways, that, like, there were different keys to kind of what got you going. But the next step in that journey kind of came in the golf boom destination of Cabo. And you mentioned studying the great architects, and then you got to work with many of them. You've done fantastic private courses with Jack on El Dorado, on Corinthia with Tom Fazio, Miravilla's Twin Dolphin course with Fred Couples. But we tend to focus on places everyone can play. And way back in the early 1990s, when Jack helped kind of start the Cabo boom with Palmilla, which is, you know, designed with 27 holes that are played in different 9-hole combos. You know, tell us about the experience of how you got on there, and then what it was like to be part of a team working with, you know, the greatest golfer of all time at that time, and possibly still is.
Yes, it was. Just imagine that experience. I mean, just after I did the interview in Tijuana, and they said yes, you're going to go to Cabo and you're going to be working at Paragon. Paragon was at that point Jack Nicklaus's construction company. So I go to Cabo. I've never been to Cabo at that as 23 years ago. I've never been to Cabo. It was still a very small town, and Palmilla and Cabo del Sol were the first courses there, and they were Jack Nicklaus signature. And yes, Jack has to do a lot with how we know golf in Mexico now. So when I arrived there, you know, I arrived. It was kind of like it was an experience, because cultural wise, when you work in a company in Mexico and you have a title, let's say I'm an architect, you usually are at a level of a subdirector or coordinator or something like that. When you work for an American style construction company, they don't care if you have a title. You're starting from the bottom. So at the time I was hating it, but it was just absolutely a mind-boggling experience to be out there, you know, taking the drainage pipe to this labor guy, make sure everybody had water and ice, making sure that the irrigation installers had their glue, had their everything. And so I was running all over the place, kind of like being the go-get guy. No, and I was there, and I was loving it, because that is one. Now when you think about it, and time after time, that served a great purpose, which is I am an architect that knows exactly how this goes in, goes out, how you place it, how you don't, et cetera, et cetera. So since I learned from the ropes from a construction company, I can speak to any foreman or anybody that's out there the same language. And that has given me an advantage during the years. So just imagine this experience, just to finish this part of the question. When I arrived there, the director knew my aspiration to become a golf architect. So he said, every single time that Jack Nicklaus comes around, I cannot put you on the walkthrough because you're still, you would have nothing to do there. And Jack just likes to be surrounded by people that are, you know, just there for what they need to do. So he put me as a driver. So I was driving the truck and I was listening to all the walkthrough. Nice. And then I worked my way up to being actually inside the mobile or the truck. But the first visit from Jack, just imagine this. I arrive and I arrive. Jack had a walkthrough on the second week that I was working there. So I got to meet him really quick on the second week. And I said, thank you. And I approached him and I said, thank you. And I said, hey, Augie, yes, I've heard you're the new guy in the block. And I said, yes, pleasure to meet you, sir. You're an inspiration. And he says thank you to me, and he takes off his hat, gives it to me. And I still have it here in my design studio. So just that gesture of somebody like the stature of Jack Nicklaus, I mean, how do you think it made me feel and encouraged me to continue on my quest?
Oh, it had to be how great. Amazing.
How great.
So that's how I started. That was my first incentive that I was doing the correct thing. From then on, I was just kept on pedaling. I mean, as they say, no, the only person that falls off a bike is the one that stops pedaling. You got to continue. So that's then I moved and worked a little bit at El Dorado. That now it's a Discovery Land property, and then Paragon went belly up. So everybody was left without a job. But I was lucky to land. Now as a junior project manager, I was lucky to land the Tom Fazio, the first Tom Fazio course out of the United States, that's named Querencia. So that was just an unbelievable experience. Imagine my schooling. And that's why I left there. Part of my mentorship was, you know, Jack Nicklaus signature courses, two of them, and then a Tom Fazio course, Querencia. I don't think it can get any better for your first 3 years of starting a career.
You know, you and I on the Zoom call I mentioned before, you mentioned something to me that you believe in people's ability to connect by frequency. And to me, you may say how great that all this happened, but you got some strong frequency, man. That's the only way I look at it. All right, let's.
I really appreciate it.
That's all right. Let's ride that bike you're talking about a little further. We're going to jump around a little bit because I just want to stay in Cabo for another second, because Cabo San Lucas Country Club. Just a little background: Roy Dye and his son Matt in 1994 at Cabo San Lucas Country Club. It was part of the first wave of this Cabo boom that we're talking about. At the time, it was called Campo de Carlos when it opened. Yes. And it was a collaborative effort, as I said, Roy Dye, his son, Matt, part of the Los Cabos Golf Resort, so people can play it. But in 2018, I believe, you were called in to do a massive facelift. Tropical Storm Lydia hit in 2017. Tell us about, you come in on an amazing piece of property with beautiful views, incredible flora, and you redid parts of the golf course itself. You shortened holes, you widened fairways. Talk about that experience and how you brought your philosophy to redoing Cabo San Lucas Country Club.
That was a truly amazing experience, and both ways. It was just not a golf course that I was brought in, that we were brought in to redesign, because the Lydia literally washed seven holes away completely. They were erased from the earth. So it was redesigning, redesigning, and a few touches here and there. But the most important thing I would say is coming back to Cabo and actually with a pencil in hand and not a pick and shovel. You know what I mean? So just imagine, after doing, you know, Palmilla, El Dorado, Querencia, and being able to come back and to the Mecca of golf, because Cabo is the Mecca of golf. I believe it is now the best the first destination for the U.S. and Canada. Cabo is competing with Hawaii for the number one destination of traveling. So just imagine going back to that Mecca, where there's now, I think there's 20 golf courses of the best names out there. Tiger Woods is now out there. You know, now Fred Couples, who we had the opportunity to work with as well. But before, it was just, there was no Mexicans. There was not even, I mean, Cabo, you have to put it into perspective. It's an extension of California. Mm-hmm. That's it. So just imagine Agustin Pizarro going back and actually doing things with a pencil. That was number one for me. That was like, wow, this is another one of my little majors. And then being able to actually reassess and create a little bit of the magic that we like to create with reassessing, creating a better experience, less intimidating experience, creating areas for short courses or other experiences like golf lounge or wellness golf. And we had the opportunity and the trust from the client to do it. So what we created was, we eliminated hole number 15, and hole number 10, that was a long par four, created a short par four, drivable one, and a par three, and then elongated a long par four to a par five. So we mixed and matched with the rest of the golf course, and we created a space where we will create a short game, you know, fun place, multi-purpose golf that I love to do in that area. So that those are the things that we created at Cabo San Lucas Country Club, which, yes, is the closest golf course to Cabo San Lucas, with great views to the Arc. It is just an amazing place, and we're very lucky to have been a part of it. And even luckier, it has gotten great reviews.
Wow, it sounds like a great place. Another place we need to put on our list, Mitch.
Yeah.
let's move away from Cabo a little bit. You're in Puerto Vallarta. Yes. You worked with Jack there on Pacifico, the Bahia courses at Punta Mita Golf Club, private courses. You just, it seems like you found a lot of very special spots to work on golf courses, Augie.
Well, thank you. I like to believe that they find me, but yes,
right.
Yes, definitely. It takes two. No, like Mitch says, it's about the frequency that you are. You know, the great ideas and great jobs and great everything is up there in the air to grab. If you're in the right frequency, it'll come to you. So, yes, I've been very lucky. As a matter of fact, when I finished my architect degree, I finished working for Ken Moody, the Scottish architect, and I moved to work with Robert Von Hagee in his Houston office. And then a year later, I saw the opportunity to create my own practice. And Punta Mita was my first client. So it was, imagine just if everything came full circle, and my first project, my first client as Pisa Golf was a Jack Nicklaus signature, like how I started in Palmilla. So it was a great, great circle, great virtuous cycle that was created starting Punta Mita. And that's how I ended up in Vallarta, because from Punta Mita, then came Vidanta, another Nicklaus course. So by now, I've been lucky enough to have been working for for Jack Nicklaus courses. So I've been very, very lucky to have that schooling and that contribution and everything, because at the end also, it is very exciting when years later, master's degree later, books later, you're actually having a very nice conversation on site with somebody like Jack Nicklaus.
So when you went to Punta Mita and you had created Pisa Golf, when you say it was your first as your own company, that was as a project manager working with Jack Nicklaus, right?
Exactly. I was project manager, project coordinator, quality control. So I made sure that his plans were done to his specifications and taking care of the monies for the owner, budget and time-wise. Yes.
So you and I had talked about, and I think people have to realize this, in a situation like yours, obviously Jack Nicklaus or Tom Fazio, or they can't be there all the time. So they do those walkthroughs, they come in, they check. But during the day-to-day stuff, it's the project manager that's really responsible, like you said, for carrying out all of those visions and making sure they're what they want. It's a huge responsibility. So, I want to mention again that Punta Mita, the Pacifico and Bahia course, we're talking about people getting to go play places. They are private, but they have the resort there. And if you stay there, you get to play those courses. Same thing, Vedanta is the Grand Mayan Resort. Looks like an unbelievable place.
It is.
And both of them. So those are two other places that you've been involved with heavily that our listeners can go and experience too and get a hit on Augie Pisa.
Yes, definitely. And Punta Mita, bear in mind, it's in Puerto Vallarta. Everything's in Puerto Vallarta. It's a 40-minute drive north. And it's the only resort that has the St. Regis and the Four Seasons on the same property. 36 wow. holes and only about 16,000 rounds a year. So it's just unbelievable. It is very exclusive, private, and one of the best places that I've ever visited. And I'm very proud to be a part of it.
That is just another place. You just keep adding more things to the list that we need to go do. Augie, I want to change directions just a little bit. I want to ask a little bit about your philosophy of golf. We talk about fun golf a lot here on the podcast. And when you're sitting down to build something or that's new or something that you're looking at, like you were talking about redesigning, what's your goal in terms of what are you looking to get across to the golfer first and foremost?
Oh, that's a good one. First and foremost, to think. That's number one. Also, part of my philosophy has to do a lot with nature. If you look at my website, you'll find out, or you could observe that no golf course looks alike. Right. And that is because I am actually reading the contours, the nature, what is it telling me? I'm creating a dialogue. And also, it is very important to know the whys. The why. Why are you doing this golf course? Why? What are the objectives? So are you doing a resort course? Are you doing a private course? Are you doing a TPC Sawgrass course to challenge every single top golfer in the world? What is the brief? What is the objective? Economically, socially, and on the ecology side. So when you have that clear, then you start creating and downloading things for your philosophy that makes sense for the philosophy. Am I explaining myself?
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense.
So you have to analyze everything that needs to be checkmarked in order to create a beautiful golf course, a challenging golf course, a lovable golf course, a playable golf course for that or those objectives. So for me, the ego needs to stay at the door because I am just an interpreter of nature, of the objectives, of the proposed, of what we need to accomplish. Again, on the social side, on the economic side, and on the ecological side.
And what do you want a golfer to think when they come off your golf course, when they've completed the experience? You know, what is your hope in your mind that the golfer who walks off 18 thinks, about what, you know, the 4 hours, 5 hours they've just spent?
I would love for him to want to come back. No, the philosophy, now going strictly into the philosophy, I like to visualize my designs like a good 18 chapter book. So just like a good book or a good artistic movie, there is, you know, the plot, the rising action, the climax, the surprising ending, or double climax. So you have to envision, if you have the nice structure to your 18 chapters book, you will have a fantastic golf. And this means that you're going to have some, you know, maybe hole number one starts off easy, welcomes you with a big smile, and maybe hole number two as well. But then probably there's a nice plot going on 3, 4, 5 until there's a rising action here and there. And then you have a surprising, twist of plot. So that's how I envision my when I design a championship golf. It is, how am I going to create a fantastic 18 chapter book that will lure you in, that will arrest you, that will make you think on a hole that is just a resting hole, because the other two holes were just outstanding. Maybe it's when a visual, maybe it's when the actress comes out and you're visually you're blinded by the beauty. Maybe it's just that par three that's sitting there on a cliff that is just a beautiful, beautiful piece of sight, of beauty that you're seeing. And then the other one just challenges you. And then the other one caresses you. Then the other one welcomes you. And at the end, you have a very nice composition that people can say, and the players will say, I don't know what it was, but I love this course. So I like to think, I like to take our players through a roller coaster of emotions, through a treasure map. That's how I envision when I'm designing.
I love that.
That is one of the most unbelievable descriptions of what you do I think I've ever heard. Serious. We could keep talking about that part of it forever, as far as I'm concerned. I want to move to this next section of your work, which I know from having talked to you earlier is all of it juices you, but I get a feeling that this particular aspect of what you're doing now, not only what you're doing now, but what you're doing now in a number of places, is something that really gets you going. There's a couple of other courses that you've done You've worked in Colombia. There's some place called Briseño 18 near Bogota. And of course, Darren and I, yes. I know, would love to talk about, not now, sometime, because this could be ridiculous. I flipped out when I read this, an original Stanley Thompson design from 1935 in Rio called Itananga. Am I right? Which that whole story must be amazing. That Stanley Thompson, who Darren and I love, but that's for another discussion. But
nice.
I wanted to mention La Paz and the Puerta Cortes Club. It was called Costa Baja when it opened in 2010. It's the only Gary Player signature course in Mexico. It's on the Sea of Cortez. You were the project manager in 2010. But in 2019, you were brought back to work on the rebranded Puerta Cortes Resort, not only doing work on the course, but this is where, to me, we're going to get into the next couple things that we'll talk about, something you're really becoming well known for, making it a multi-purpose facility with a 10-hole pitch and putt course, a driving range, a golf academy, all utilizing the same lower-cost, highly sustainable space. Talk just briefly about that particular area, the 10-hole pitch and putt course, that kind of stuff. And then we're going to get into the wellness golf, which is off the charts.
Love it. Love it. Well, maybe the Rio de Janeiro one should be an interview on site, because being in Rio de Janeiro is special. Oh, man. Let's just do that one on site.
Okay.
It is just an unbelievable experience. And just to make a quick parenthesis, I don't know if you know who George Benjour is, but he's one of the top musicians. He's like the Elton John of Brazil, and he's a member at the golf course. And I'll tell you a quick story, because when he approached me after the inauguration, he was like, Agostinho, what a great work. And I'm like, this is George Benjour. This is Elton John coming to you and saying, I really enjoyed my course. Thank you very much for being here.
Right.
So I'm just like, holy moly, this is George Benjour saying thanks. And I told him the truth. I said, George, I knew that you were a member here. It's absolutely amazing to meet you, but this is half of your work. Because when we were doing the plans in our studio, I had my speakers with your music on every single time. So you're part of this inspiration. And we just hugged, and it was unbelievable. It was just amazing. An amazing experience.
Incredible. Incredible. Yeah, so. And Chris, our producer who's listening, he's our resident music expert, although he deals mainly with some other types of music here in the States. But I have a feeling he and I are going to get into the music you just talked about, and we'll start having Brazilian music, Chris. I'm going to get on it. All right, let's just briefly talk about the Puerta Cortes.
Yes, I'll tell you about it, because they all kind of mix and match. What we're getting into right now is a multi-purpose design, and our wellness golf is our multi-purpose, design concept that we came up with. Number one, there's different angles, Mitch. Number one, I've been 23 years in this fabulous industry, and it took me 19 years to realize we should be designing for the non-golfer. We have the golfers already. Let's design for the non-golfers. And that's the way to grow the game. So that's one part of the philosophy. The other one was, driving ranges are usually used from 7 to 9 and then from 6 to 7 or 5 to 7 in the evening or in the afternoon. It's like a movie theater, and that's how I envisioned it. A movie theater. You still have to show the movie. How do you get people to come in at the 2 o'clock, at the 3 o'clock, at the 4 o'clock show? Okay, so you invent stuff. So that's why we came up with a multifaceted area, inspired as well by the gyms in our high school. Our gym, we are used to that. We're programmed for that. When we go into the gym, we know basketball is from 5 to 7. We know that volleyball is from 7 to 9, or badminton from 2 to 4. I don't know, but it's just a matter of simple logistics and operation. So when we got out of our comfort zone and said, let's do something special, And that's how these multi-purpose wellness golf facilities, specifically at Puerto Cortes, I spoke to the new owners that said, let's do something that will better your return of investment. It will better the aesthetics. It will better the ecological side because we will have desert style golf course coming in and out, because that's how you have your golf course. One big problem that the driving ranges have is that they are just overlooked when designed. They are just a piece of land, a big polo field, nothing against polo, a big polo field that you just hit and hit and hit, and you're hitting to a 300 feet wide area. All of a sudden you go to hole number one and it's 120 or 150 feet. That's messing up your psyche. And that's why you have all of these OBs on your first hole. So we decided to redesign and reassess and started to shape the area to fit like you play the golf course, and also to shape your golf, your balls, so that you can hit now a fade, you can hit a draw, long iron, short iron, driver, and now you will know how it is landing nicely on the piece of turf that you're supposed to land. And that way you know if you're really doing the correct thing. On top of that, we designed a 10-hole short par 3 course pitch and putt from 30 yards to 130 yards long. And now people are walking the dog. The grandfather's playing with the grandson. The mother's playing with their six-year-old. And it is just beautiful. Not intimidating at all. People are ordering refreshments, pizzas, hot dogs. And it has become the place to be in Puerto Cortes.
How amazing. How amazing. Let just blend that into the other place that blew me away, which is Chablis Wellness Resort. This is a 5-star resort in the Yucatan. And yes. You went in there. Now, the whole property is dedicated to wellness. And so they already had a reputation, and they have a number of these resorts. But you go into the Yucatan and you say, okay, let's add golf. Tell us what you did there. It's 4 greens with 9 tees. When I saw this on your website, this is the place where I said, just take me here, leave me here, let me play and live and die and drool myself to death. It would be at Chablis.
Well, now you can live there because we're just entering part 2 and it will have some some housing development.
Sold.
Perfect.
And so, yes, this was just, again, just something that came up. And this inspiration with the same as ever, what I just described, this came from the board games as well. How do you on one side of the board game, you play Chinese checkers. On the other side, you play chess or you play checkers. How do I do that on a golf course? So we started messing around because the first thing that I wanted to do was to create a lesser footprint golf area, because they wanted they called me up for a regular golf course, but we have to be very ethical. I think one of the most important things for as a golf course architect is being honorable, ethical with nature and with oneself and with the client. And we have to take care of the client, but we are the ones that know what happens and what should happen. And that's one of my sayings. You have to design. We should design as we can and not as we should and not as we can. So we need to be ahead, and we could be ahead of any norm, any ecological stuff. We are, and we can be ahead of it. And that's how I like to think. So when we arrive to Chablis, I tell them, this is a beautiful wellness resort spa that has won so many awards around the world. It was number one. 2018 was number one wellness resort spa in the world. We have to do something special. Let's do something completely unique. And I convinced them, luckily, and that's part of my career right now, Mitch. I love where we're at in my career or at Pisa Golf, because now we are creating magic. We are creating you know, we find, or crazy client finds us. And when you have, you know, when you're an architect and you think about these concepts and you write them down and you come up with all of these, but you, if you don't have the crazy client, that you just become a theorist. And that's it. There are plenty of theorists on regular architecture, vertical architecture, urban planning. There are a lot of theories. But now we're having the opportunity to actually do it and build it. And that's the special magic that we're having, that we're living right now in our firm. How the clients believe in our philosophy, in what we bring to the table. So it all started with wellness. Wellness golf. I said, well, if this is a wellness retreat, wellness spa, why don't we create wellness golf? What is wellness golf? What is wellness is well-being, your well-being. If your well-being is meditating, if your well-being is enjoying a big fat cigar with a mimosa, if your well-being is walking barefoot and playing golf, that's how it should be. And that's how the philosophy started. So wellness golf is about all of that. It's about taking your shoes off, connecting with nature, enjoying the 360 degrees that golf gives you, and everything within 90 minutes. It's designed for you to spend only 90 minutes of your time in this specific wellness golf. And that way, nobody will miss you. You can just go in the morning, or you can take your significant other or your kids, and they'll love it. So it is designed for you. And let me try and explain it, because it's there's four greens in the middle, and then you have a, like an X shaped with five, or star shaped with five edges that you can hit shots towards the middle, towards the center. So you can use it as a driving range, or better, what we've done is create experiences inside the experience. So we have like corporate outings that they have maybe wine tasting or lobster tacos on one. Then you rotate, you go to the other station. Then you rotate, you go to the other station. So you're now creating an experience within the experience. And on top of that, you can also do circuits. And the circuits, I like to say, are designed kind of like a ski slope, no? Where you have the bunny slopes. There's a big lake in the middle. So you can just, you know, skim around the lake, and it's perfect and it's beautiful, and there's no ball going into the water. Or you can crisscross the lake, and you can challenge yourself as much as you like. The other thing, and the last thing that I'm going to tell you is that it's also designed for a top player. Because imagine our tee boxes are designed as an inverted plate. That means that you have the nice, firm, leveled place on top like a regular tee box, but the surroundings are all convex. So you can put the ball on top of your foot, below your feet, in front of your feet, and back of your feet, depending on what place on the tee box you're at, and start practicing non-leveled shots to all the way to 180 yards in to any green. So it's just a complete plethora of shot making, shot values, and just dropping the ball and having fun. There's no scorecard. There's nothing. It's just enjoy, make that place your own. And that's what we want to, that's what we have made. It is, I want you to be part of that and enjoy it as if you were an owner and that was your backyard.
How cool is that, Darren, that whole concept?
What a fantastic concept. And of course, he had me at Lobster Tacos out there. But I just, the idea, the creativity to be able to put something like that together that just makes practice. You know me, Mitch, I don't like to practice, but I would go out and bum around a place like that all day.
You've only got 90 minutes.
Well, that's fine. I'd take 90 minutes and then I'd go somewhere else and then I'd come back for 90 more.
Exactly.
But given all that creativity, Augie, we still haven't even gotten to the pit. So let's talk about that. A private residence in what was a rundown part of the city, 25 acres taken from a dilapidated lot, turned into an experience that just looks simply amazing. You know, how'd you do it? How'd you come up with it? And and, you know, tell us what you love about it, because it's not a one-off. You're going to do more of these, I believe, right?
Yes. Yes. I'm actually glad that you put it that point, because growing up in the 80s, I didn't want it to be a one hit wonder. So now we've got two more in the oven with the other projects that we're doing, The Pit. So let me explain where that comes from. This is in Mexico City, and it's not 25 acres. We're talking about 1 acre of land. And Wellness Golf, by the way, if anybody hashtags Wellness Golf on any platform, 95% of the posts will be ours. As well as Multi-Purpose Golf. So please go ahead and just on any platform, you just go ahead and do that. So you can look at what we're talking about. Now, let's go to The Pit. The one on 25 acres is the RLL, which came after Chablé, and I'll tell you all about that one. But The Pit comes, it's in Mexico City. It's in a very small footprint in the middle of a concrete jungle. And my client says, I want a green. I want something nice. And I said, can I do, I don't do, and I told him this, you know that I don't do regular things. You know that. No? So can I come up with a concept that will blow you away? I said, of course, yes. So I come back and I design. First of all, I went against the rule book of architecture. And instead of the form following function, the function follows the form. So let's begin with that one. I wanted to create a grass sculpture. And why a grass sculpture? Because I wasn't just designing for him and his house. I'm also designing for his wife that doesn't play golf. So to leave all of the ego and selfishness to a side, said, let me create something that the wife would look at and just be in awe. So I knew that I wanted to create a wow factor. And then, by the way, you have all of these shot values, and it's a fantastic putting green and chipping green and approach green with all sorts of shots, trickle downs, bump and runs, lack putts, short putts, everything you can think of. So we created a big green. It's about 8,000 square feet with different bays. I segmented the green so you can attack it from different angles. Again, if you hashtag The Pit 2020, you will find it. And in the middle, I created a sculpture with revetted bunker from my Scottish days. There's a synthetic recycled revetted bunker that I designed and then engineered by EcoBunker, where they helped me a lot on the engineering side. And we created a bay where I proposed to put a fire pit. So all of a sudden, going back to the multi-purpose, it is not only a place that you love, that it's a calendar picture, but it's also a place that you can multi-use, because at the end, it's your backyard. So we did a huge bunker that actually doubles up for, like a sandbox for the kids. So you have all of these rolling hills that the fingers roll down into the bunker. So you have the kids rolling down into the bunker, into the sand, the kids playing, doing castles around the sand, like if they were in a big sandbox. And you have the fire pit. The fire pit, all of it connects with warm lighting. So it's an art composition that we tried to do there and that we designed. So the every part, every member of the family is amazed by the putting course that could have been just a regular putting green, and it would have been nice as well, but it wouldn't be fantastic. and that fire pit, you can use it, you know, when night comes, you turn on the music. We put in ambisonic system on it, and you turn on the music, you light up the pit, and you have a family gathering. Kids are roasting marshmallows, or you invite your friends, you bring out the disco ball, you dress as Austin Powers, and you're out there just partying and cutting away, and it is just an amazing experience. So that's the pit, and we call it the golf lounge pit. It is an unbelievable experience. And actually, and I don't think I've told you this, but we're going VR. So for all the gamers out there, the pit is going to be available in VR very soon in your Oculus Quest. It has playlists. You can choose your playlist, and just play all day in the surrounding fire pit.
How unbelievable. I mean, really unbelievable. Austin Powers. Darren, when I told you and Chris that this was going to have stuff we've never heard before, I think I was right. If Vanessa had sent me of the pit, I just said, okay, all right, stop. I mean, this is, if you have the wherewithal to have this kind of something in your backyard that your family can enjoy that way, I just, again, another mind-blowing aspect.
And it's what we need. It's what we talk about all the time, that golf needs more creativity. We need more ways to be able to access the game. And do it in different time frames, like you were talking about with the 90 minutes at the wellness resort. It just, you know, instead of always being 5 hours out on the golf course.
It's just, you have to think differently. And I appreciate how, you know, there's a lot of people that think outside the box. Thinking outside the box is not enough anymore. You have to do outside the box. That's very different. Doing outside the box is taking a risk. Wellness golf, the pit, all of these could have exploded in my face. It could have, as easy as that. Luckily, they didn't. Luckily, you know, we're sitting here talking in this fabulous podcast, Travel and Golf. We're doing this because of that. We're doing this because we're doing things different. And it has been published in more than 10 countries in 6 languages. But it takes, and what I want to get at is that it takes the same effort to feed a horse than to feed a donkey. You know, do things differently. Make sure you have that thoroughbred horse, because it's going to look fantastic, and you still need to maintain it. You still need to maintain it. It's the same effort. Might as well do something different.
What did I say to you and Vanessa after we had that Zoom hour and a half together? I said to you, and I really feel this way, forget the phrase outside the box, because with you, to me, there is no box.
Yes, thank you.
There's literally no box. And what's great, and I'm sure Darren agrees with this, is the more you do and the more reaction and the more people see and the more, you know, it's no different than some of these courses that we've loved to talk about here, whether it's Winter Park 9, or the new course at Gamble Sands, or, you know, all of those they're finding out that it's like Darren said, this is what people want. They want this stuff. They want to have fun. Gosh darn it.
Yeah, exactly. There is a huge movement, and we're loving it. We're really loving to be a part of this movement. And we just absolutely love that. I think multi-purpose golf is key to actually growing the game. And I don't know if you know the RLL project that we did. We did the inverse. We did the exact opposite than the wellness golf. Here we have 4 greens on the outside that looks like an X or a Y, and we have a big body that connects these 4 greens, and you can play 3, 6, 9, 15, 18 hole combinations. If you play the right 18 hole combinations, you end up playing a par 72, 7,000 yard golf course in 25 acres.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Isn't that amazing, Darren?
That's something. I still can't get over him saying it takes the same amount to feed a horse as it does a donkey. I am going to use that in every project I work on from now on.
Well,
and also it's about food, which is why you like it.
Well, true.
No, but it is, you know, a lot of, it is the same effort. After you, after you finish, you'll need to maintain it. You need to water it. You need to, you know, use the fungicides, the pesticides, the fertilizers, whatever you need. You're going to do the same. Make sure that you have a beautiful golf course. Make sure.
Yeah. All right. Let's, we could, I feel like I could just do this for another couple hours before we let you go. Because everybody
this
I
should
know
be a television series, Mitch.
All right, we'll talk. Before we let you go, though, I know a lot of the listeners are going to be going, okay, that's great. Augie's great, but he's down in Mexico. But I say to them, not so fast, because the exciting news to me, too, is that now you are going to open, I believe, is it open or about to open, new Pizag Golf offices in San Diego. You are coming across the border to us. What does that mean? I know it's exciting. I know you are completely jazzed at staff. What does it mean relative to the work you're going to be doing in the States?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the, there's two ways of seeing this. Number one, for us, for Pisa Golf, opening an office in San Diego or anywhere in the States, San Diego, is like the Iñárritus and Cuarons and Guillermo del Toros, all of these, you know, great directors of the Revenant that have been, you know, winning some Oscars. It's like them arriving to Hollywood. It is the same feeling for me, and I get inspired by them as well as fellow Mexicans. So that's one side of it. The other side of it is that we have been very, very, very lucky, or we have forged our luck to be, you know, raising eyebrows in the industry with these concepts of multi-purpose wellness golf and golf lounge, that we have gotten a few leads, and that was another part of the motivation. So yes, we're up and running, and I'm the founder of the company, and we will be working from San Diego. So yes, we have that option now, and we're very, very honored and privileged to be able to be up north of the border.
And when might we hear about projects in the States?
Well, I have a little, you know, I have two surprises. One that I can, I don't know if you've seen Twitter lately, but I've been, you know, we've been doing some study tours with Brandel Chambly, a dear friend and now partner in special projects. So we're going to start doing one down here in Mexico. That's called Desertica, that we will be working on. And so there will be loads of surprises with Mr. Chambly. His analytics, he's such an intellectual, a gentleman, that it was just a perfect fit. It's the left side of the brain with the right side of the brain. And together we're going to create a very fantastic creative swing. So that's something that we're working on as well.
How great. Wonderful news all the way around. There's so much packed into this little over an hour that I can't even, I'm going to have to take some time to digest it all. Augie, thank you so much for taking the time, for your energy, for your passion, for you listening. You can find Augie again at ARQ PIZA on Twitter, Pizza Golf on Instagram, pizzagolf.com. The website, go there, take a look at the pictures. You'll find the pit and all the other great projects that Augie's working on. Off the charts, Augie. So glad we had this time. Hopefully we'll do more.
Thank you, sir. Really appreciate it. Thank you for your interest in our work. Everybody at Pisa Golf is very excited of things to come, what's been happening. And we're just excited to be living the passion. So thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Really enjoyed myself. Really appreciate it.
And while we're thanking Augie, we also have to thank the listeners. We couldn't do it without them. We also have to thank Chris McEwen. And we forgot to mention up top that you need to jump in and check out his Golf Origin Stories. Great podcast there with guests that kind of takes a whole different approach than what we do here at Talking Golf Getaways. And Mitch and I have both been victims on that podcast. And so make sure you check that out and hook up with us at Golf Trip Experts on either Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, and we can keep talking about the world of golf travel.
How great. How great. Once again, thanks to Augie. Muchísimas gracias, mi amigo. Hasta luego.
Hasta luego. Ándale, ándale.
Ándale, vamos. I can't believe there's anyone who dreams more than Augie Pizá does. Clearly, he's thrilled when he sees them come true. Here's hoping your dreams do as well. Adios por ahora. So long for now.